and welcome to the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service. With me, Natasha Fernandez.
Hello, it's Uncle Roger. Since my last video, many people asking me how to make rice. Today I show you the Asian way. Uncle Roger have many white friends tell me they use saucepan. Saucepan, hiya. World War II is over, use technology. Proper Asian use rice cooker.
That was YouTuber and satirical comedian Nigel Ng, playing the character of Uncle Roger, who's professing his love for the automatic rice cooker, now used by millions around the world. So I'm taking you back to the moment that kitchen utensil was born and revolutionised rice cooking forever. It's 1955 and we're in Ehime, located southwest of Japan's main Honshu island, and the hunt for the perfect rice is underway.
This was an experiment to make a tasty rice. In Japan, there is a proverb for a rice cooking master since the older day.
That's Aiji Minami. He's the younger son of the man who invented the rice cooker, entrepreneur Yoshitada Minami. He's saying that his dad's mission to invent the rice cooker came from trying to achieve an age-old Japanese proverb. That means low flame in the beginning, heat up to the high flame in the middle, put the flame down when it makes a sizzling noise, and never remove the lid even when your baby cries.
So you cook again.
It used to be believed that you can make a delicious rice if you cook the way the proverb said.
But Yoshitada's pursuit for the rice cooker also stemmed from somewhere else.
6 years after the end of hostilities, the San Francisco Peace Treaty brings to an end the state of war with Japan.
And when World War II ended and the US forces withdrew, Yoshitada was having trouble selling his water heaters. He started losing business. But luckily, he had made friends in high places.
He begged Mr. Matsumoto, who was the head of the development of the home electrics, to let him manufacture whatever product. Mr. Matsumoto got bothered by how much my father was insisting. So he told him, there's an idea of a so-called electric rice cooker. Why don't you try to make it into actual product?
Now, Mr. Matsumoto didn't think the rice cooker would lead to anything. In fact, he only gave Yoshitada the project as a way of keeping him occupied. But what the men that dominated the home appliance industry didn't realise was just how helpful this rice cooker could be.
Japanese women, including my mother, used to use rice cooker, which was called Hagama. Initially, firewood was used. Then, at some point, it was changed to using gas. I think it was such a hard labor, and they had to repeat it for 3 times a day.
Yoshitada didn't know where to begin when it came to cooking rice, so he turned to someone who did.
Minami Fumiko.
My mother's name was Fumiko Minami. Her family was a pretty high-ranked warrior class. But my grandfather was a man about town, and he made his highly regarded family bankrupt. So, he came to Tokyo with his daughter. Once she was working for a big restaurant in Omori, and there is a time that my dad met her there and fell in love with her.
Soon after, they got married. And children came along to add to their already very busy household.
There were a lot of company employees staying at my house, which gave my mom a great amount of work.
And on top of that, Yoshitada also loved to entertain.
He was doing the gidayu, traditional singing since the Edo period. He went to various places to show his performance, and he took his children there many times and told us, you guys sit in the front row and watch me.
He'd often practice singing at home too. So whilst he was busy entertaining, all the hard work was left to Fumiko. And besides the housekeeping, she was also tasked with testing out different versions of the rice cookers Yoshitada brought home.
We children couldn't just stand by watching her doing it any longer, so we started helping her.
Whilst her children checked the thermometers, Fumiko would note down the temperatures in her children's school books at all hours.
Looking at the notebook, we find the result of a measurement recorded at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. It showed that my mother was testing it all by herself, even after putting her children to bed.
Even though she was tired from tending to her guests and staying up late testing the cooker, she persevered.
In winter, when it was very cold, we cooked rice on the roof while it was snowing. And we were also cooking rice in the kotatsu.
This is a low wooden table covered by a heavy blanket to warm your legs. They're very popular in harsh Japanese winters. And whilst his siblings meticulously recorded the temperature readings on the thermometer every day, Aiji had other plans.
I remember I was playing in the kotatsu with a cat and flipped the rice over and was scalded.
So would you say that you helped a lot in helping make the rice cooker then?
I think I helped more in the failed cases.
Better leave the rice cooking to your mum, Aiji. Part of the children's job was to eat the rice they cooked in the different rice cookers.
Did the rice taste good when you were testing it?
To be honest, it was very bad. How can I put it? It was either burnt or undercooked, and there was a lot of that kind of rice.
Now, whilst the children were eating bucket loads of rice, Fumiko's health began to deteriorate. But she still persevered. And Aiji thinks he knows why.
Although I was a child, I thought my mother's family was brought to ruin. My father, on the other hand, went through various hardship, and did things like inviting his parents to live with family. So she was living in such destiny. I think she was working very hard so that she can get her own back on them. I felt that way.
So she continued to refine the rice cooker day and night until...
My father brought a complete rice cooker home in the middle of the night and forced everybody to wake up and said, "We are going to eat this together." Then we cooked rice with the rice cooker and ate, saying, "Ah, this is delicious."
A far cry from all that dodgy rice from earlier attempts, don't you think? And how many rice cookers did they sell in the beginning?
I don't know the exact figure, but as it started selling the tens of thousands a month, it liberated women from the labor, which tied them up for 2 to 3 hours a day. The reputation spread, and housewives sent a large number of thank you letters. Some of them were passed to my mother, and at the time, she was sick in the bed. And she started to cry when she read them. I think she felt she had accomplished something great in her life.
Aiji Minami was speaking to me, Natasha Fernandez, for the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service. And if you've enjoyed listening, why not leave us a review and share it with anyone you think might be interested? It helps spread the word about the amazing stories we hear on Witness History.
From the brilliant and bizarre.
It was really surreal. It was a surreal kind of atmosphere there. You couldn't really see anybody.
To the shocking and unexpected.
I'm just wondering, what are we going to do now? This was really my worst fear. He found 100% horse meat that was labelled as beef.
Witness the stories that have shaped our world. Told by the people who were there.
When he went to the factory, the poodle went in front of him. So the workers only knew, oh, the boss is here.
Many people had many things to lose by our victory. The future was not so bright.
Witness History.
We had a designer. He brought in a fully storyboarded idea about how the Queen would arrive by jumping out of a helicopter. And we all said, "That's brilliant, but it's never going to happen."
Witness History at bbcworldservice.com/witnesshistory or wherever you get your podcasts.